The Yankees, they win 7-6 in extras and 10 innings. And to talk about Major League Baseball and the Yankees, we bring in former Yankee, longtime Yankee beat writer, now writing for MLB.com, Mark Feinsand. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Lori. How are you?
I'm doing well. So Austin Romine came through for the Yankees late in this game. You covered the Yankees for years with Derek Jeter on the team. Look, I believe in analytics, but do you believe in a clutch gene? Is there a thing as a clutch gene?
Well, I certainly think there's a thing in players who have the ability to slow the game down a little bit in those situations. And the ones who constantly fail in those situations are the guys who grip the bat a little too tight and who, you know, try to go outside of their own game and do something more than they're typically capable of doing. Romine's a guy who's really had to, you know, fight and scratch and claw to get where he is. You know, he was that guy every year when he was a younger player that, you know, was fighting for that backup job and would lose it to some veteran and end up back in AAA. You know, and eventually he had enough experience where he kind of became that veteran backup. You know, but he's had enough opportunities to play on a regular basis that, you know, these situations don't really faze him. And I think, you know, when you have the ability, like I said, to slow it down and just treat it like another at bat and not put that extra pressure where I have to come through with that big hit right now. You know, I certainly think there's, I don't know if it's a gene, but it's certainly a skill to be able to come through in the clutch. And it was a skill that a guy like Derek Jeter had. And then there are some players who just sort of, you know, excel in those situations.
Yeah, it seems like Romine, though, would be an unlikely one. It's one thing when it's Jeter or sometimes it's a more high-profile guy, as you said. Is it, you know, is it unusual that it's a guy, you know, typically a backup catcher, a guy like Austin Romine?
Well, again, I think it comes down to personality, and Romine's a pretty level-headed sort of, you know, keep things calm at all times and not get too high, not get too low. You know, and it's not like he went out there and hit, you know, a three-run homer
right
off a major closer. He had a single to tie the game, and then,
yep,
you know, he hit a fly ball that under most circumstances, you know, that 10th inning fly ball under most circumstances is an out. But with a man on third and one out, obviously, the Royals had to play their outfield in to try to be able to get the guy at the plate. And so, you know, what would have normally been just a fly out ends up being a single, you know, to win the game over the outfielder's head. But, you know, look, it's still, you know, a lot of guys would have gone up there and struck
right
out or hit a ground ball and not come through. So you certainly have to give him credit for, you know, coming through with two very big hits when the Yankees needed them after blowing that 5-run lead.
Yeah, a win's a win's a win. I've had fans tell me that, and especially Met fans like to pipe in and say that other teams have had injuries like the Yankees are having. But I've never seen this volume of injuries this early in the season. So how extraordinary is this?
It's pretty crazy, and I've talked to a lot of players. I've talked to some executives trying to come up with another team that could kind of relate to it or you could compare to it, and I haven't been able to come up with one yet. You know, I was talking to some guys at the stadium today about sort of the Yankee teams that I covered over the 16 years. Did any of them have anything even remotely like this? And we really couldn't come up with them. We, you know, there were years where they had two or three starters hurt, or there were years, you know, 08 stands out to me when they had – you know, Posada was out for a chunk of the year, and Chin-Ming Wong hurt himself in June and was out for the year. Mariano was out for a while, and they, you know, they didn't make the playoffs. That was that first Girardi year. You know, and Phil Hughes and Kennedy were a disaster, and Hughes got hurt. But like this, I mean, where you've got literally, you know, five or six everyday players on the DL, sorry, the IL. I'm going to make that mistake pretty much all year long. And then you've got your ace and your eighth inning guy. It's not just that they have a huge number of injuries. It's the level of players that they have out right now. I mean, you take away a team's entire starting outfield, the first baseman or DH, however you want to look at Greg Bird, where he was platooning with Voit there, you know, the shortstop, the third baseman, and the catcher. You find me any team that's going to go out there and be able to even hang in the race with all of those guys, plus your ace and your setup man out. I think Aaron Boone deserves a lot of credit for, you know, being able to keep this team sort of treading water, you know, and right around that 500 mark in a situation where most teams would just be struggling beyond belief.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because, as you know, with Sports Talk Radio, of course, fans calling and ripping Aaron Boone for one move, one decision or another, or thinking he's not fiery enough, which I certainly understand when the team has a lackluster effort certain days. But what's your assessment of the job he's done overall in the time that he's been here?
I think he's done a great job. I mean, he won 100 games last year. He ran into a buzzsaw team in the first round of the playoffs that had won 108. It was unfortunate for him that the American League was so top-heavy last year with the Red Sox, with the Astros, with the Yankees, and with the Indians that, any one of those teams could have gone the distance. The Red Sox were the best team in baseball last year. They, they beat the Yankees by 8 games in the division, and the Yankees won 100 games. So I thought Boone did a really good job, and I think he's doing a really good job this year. You know, he's keeping a clubhouse together right now that's really patching itself together with glue, with Elmer's glue. And you kind of look at the roster he threw out there, to the lineup he threw out there today. We were, the big joke in the stadium today was, what time is the bus for the Heat? Because, they were fielding a lineup that if you sent that team on the road for spring training, you'd get fined for not sending enough players, enough starting players. There were three guys in their lineup today, in Ford, Talkman, and
Ursula or Estrada or Wade.
Wade. Okay. Ursula's had a little time. But there were three guys in the lineup who had less than 250 career bats apiece. Ford had two or whatever, eight or six or six. It was, they had a really inexperienced lineup there, where you have Clint Frazier batting fourth, and your big bat off the bench is Thyro Estrada, who's never been in the big leagues before. So, obviously Gleyber Torres was there, and people will criticize Boone and say, how do you give Gleyber Torres the day off when you have this lineup like this? But, you want to keep the guys who are healthy. You don't want to run them into the ground and have it so that the next guy gets hurt. He decided that Gleyber needed a day. He said LeMahieu's probably going to get a day off in the first couple of days in Anaheim. And, right now, this is baseball. You guys get days off. The Ripken Ironman streaks don't happen anymore. So, people have to just accept the fact that, when a team plays 13 games in a row, you're going to get a day off here or there. And even if it looks like it's a bad play on that day, they're looking at the big picture, not necessarily, that spot in the lineup on that day only.
Talking to Mark Feinsand about the Yankees, and as you mentioned, of course, the lineup today, the murderer's row, the Bronx Bombers of Talkman, Ursula, Ford, Romine, and Wade there at the bottom of the lineup. But one guy who's getting an opportunity here who seems like this is sustainable, legitimate when some of the other players come back, and that's Clint Frazier. And so for a guy who had the concussion issues last year, and I think going back after the Yankees traded him, rightly or wrongly, there was this narrative of him being maybe too cocky, maybe being arrogant, whatever it is. Is Clint Frazier changing some of the narrative about himself?
Oh, certainly. And, Aaron Boone put it very well today. He said no one ever had a question about his talent. Everybody always thought he was going to be a big-time, can't-miss guy in the big leagues. And, when the Yankees traded for him in the Andrew Miller deal a few years ago, I remember talking to some scouts and some people with the Indians, and they all said, this guy is going to be a stud. He's going to be an all-star player. His bat is as quick as they've seen in a long time, et cetera. And, he had some injury problems, and he's still very young, and he still is young. And the concussion situation is a little scary. I've seen some guys who, their careers really get derailed by that. But Frazier's really taking advantage of this. He's, he's a guy who believes that he should be an everyday player. And, some people think that comes across as arrogant, but, if you're that good and you've been that good at every level you've played at, you should believe that. And that's, to me, you can't be a successful professional athlete unless you have a little of that arrogant, I should be there, I'm the best guy for the job attitude. I think this is not that they want all three of their starting outfielders to be hurt right now, but this is certainly presenting an opportunity for Frazier to step up and show, this is why you got me. This is why I was the centerpiece of that Andrew Miller trade. And, it'll be interesting to see what happens if and when everybody is back healthy, because, you'll have Stanton theoretically going into a DH role, but you'll have Judge and you'll have Hicks and you'll have Gardner and you'll have Frazier. And I think you'll see more of that rotation that the Yankees were kind of planning on doing this year before everybody got hurt. Remember, Gardner was supposed to be a part-time player this year. And he's obviously stepping into everyday duty. He hit third today. He had his first three-hit game since last June or July, I think it was. So, you know, Gardner is taking advantage of this, too, and trying to show people that he's not finished either. But, yeah, Clint Frazier is certainly doing his part to show that he's a legitimate everyday player in the big leagues.
Now, one, you know, it's easy in an extra inning game with a comeback story to lose the day's starting pitcher. James Paxton out there, six innings, 12 strikeouts, gets into the seventh and then turns the ball over to the bullpen. But 12 strikeouts, no earned runs. And, you know, Paxton, a guy, I think after a couple of starts where maybe he was struggling just a little bit, he talked about, before the Red Sox start, talked about talking to a sports psychologist. And I know there's a lot of Yankee fans. As soon as they hear stuff like that, guys are now going to have a problem in New York. He's going to be Sonny Gray. He's going to be, you know, one of these guys who doesn't work out. Paxton looking, though, like a guy who kind of understands himself and how to manage himself. And, you know, even on a day like this, it looked to me like he didn't necessarily have the same kind of stuff he had when I saw him against the Red Sox, but yet the same result, six innings, no runs, 12 strikeouts. What is he showing you so far?
Well, you know, today was more impressive to me than the Red Sox game. The Red Sox game, he came out firing 97, 98, yep. Had the great fastball, was just blowing people away with his heat. This game, he didn't have that. He was 93, he was 94. And he and Romine identified that early, and they went to the breaking ball. They went to the slider. They went to the curveball. They changed things up and made hitters. They kind of worked backwards a little bit to set up the fastball with the breaking ball. And you know, Paxton said after the game, you need to do that. You're not going to have 98 every time you go out there, and you have to be able to succeed when you don't. And, you know, he and Romine were clearly on the same page. They worked really well together. And, you know, for him to go out there and have 12 strikeouts in a game where he didn't have the big fastball was more impressive to me than what he did against Boston. You know, he's only the second pitcher in Yankees history. A lot of years of history there to have 12 strikeouts or more in back-to-back games. David Cone, who called the game today, was the other guy. So, you know, pretty impressive back-to-back run. As far as the sports psychologist thing, I laugh when people say what you said, because, you know, the Yankees employ a director of mental skills who is on their staff, who is there every day. And guys talk to the mental skills guy, the sports psychologist, all the time. Guys, I mean, very successful players who have had Hall of Fame type careers rely on these people to sort of just keep their head where it needs to be. So, yeah, obviously when you're a new guy in New York, if you don't succeed early, you start hearing names like Ed Whitson, and you start hearing names like Javi Vasquez and Sonny Gray. I don't think that's James Paxton. If he doesn't succeed here, I don't think it's a head thing. I think it'd be because of injury. I think it'd be because of something like that. You know, the issues that he's had in his career, the reason Seattle traded him to begin with, rather than pay him. But so far, everything we've seen from Paxton, New York is not going to be an issue for him. And if he continues to pitch, you know, anything close to what he's shown in the last two starts, then you're going to understand why the Yankees did what they did to acquire him.
Let's switch a little big picture here in the league. And Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell, two excellent pitchers, still unsigned. Who surprises you more that he's still out there?
Probably Kimbrell, only because there isn't a team out there that couldn't use another big bullpen arm. The Yankees were the only one that you'd even think might not need a big bullpen arm. And right now, even they could use one. Mm-hmm. So not that they're going to sign Craig Kimbrell. They obviously have the potential of coming back. And, you know, they are pretty loaded, and they just have a couple guys they need to get on the right track. But, you know, there are plenty of teams out there. You know, and the Brewers lost Corey Knebel. You kind of thought, well, maybe they'll sign Kimbrell. But, you know, he's still looking for a fair amount of money. I think he just scared some teams away when the word got out at the beginning of the offseason that he was looking for, you know, 6 years and $100+ million. And no one's paying that to closers anymore. It's just, you're never going to see that again. You know, a 6-year deal for a closer is just completely unheard of at this point in baseball. So, but that said, I'm surprised that he's still out there, just because he would help a team and he wouldn't take a month or 6 weeks to get ready. I actually did a story on that this week about Keuchel and Kimbrell, and, you know, when they sign, how long is it going to take before they can actually be contributing? You know, most people said Kimbrell could probably be on a big league mound in 2 weeks. Keuchel, on the other hand, I know he's throwing simulated games out in California. at Scott Boras' institute, and he's, you know, every 5 days he's throwing 95 pitches. And so his arm may be in shape, but simulated games and actual competition in live games, even minor league games, they're completely separate things. So he's still going to take a little while. You know, I don't know if he's willing to take a 1 year deal. There have been some reports that he is. I think he will sign eventually, but you know, maybe he's waiting for a team to suffer a big injury and get desperate and come calling. But the fact that we're still talking about these two guys who were, you know, top 10, if not top 5 free agents coming into the offseason, and here we are on, you know, Easter Sunday, and we're still talking about them. It's really, we haven't seen anything like this in a really long time.
All right. Unfortunately, our time is up. So just a yes, no here. Gio Gonzalez, I know, is, you know, kind of giving the Yankees that opt-out date. Got to put him on the roster or let him go. Do you expect him to be on the Yankee roster or let go?
I do not. I think he'll be let go. And my guess is the Brewers.
Okay. Fair enough. Mark Feinsand, MLB.com. Always appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
You got it, Lori. Thanks.